Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us, and we ask you now to anoint us with your Holy Spirit, to open our eyes to see your glory all around us, and to set our hearts on fire with love for you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please sit down? When I was at school, there was a playground rhyme, don't know if they still use it in school, that you'd use when somebody was shouting names at you. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. How many of you have heard that before? Quite a few of you. Good. Excellent. I don't know about you, but my experience has been, and always was then, that names sometimes hurt very much indeed, because they're aimed to strike hard at the core of who you are. Names can hurt, but we know as Christians that there's more to us than anything anybody could possibly say about us. We know as Christians that each one of us is absolutely unique. Each one of us is unrepeatable. There's nobody like you anywhere else in the world, and there never will be. We are totally precious in the sight of God. And God knows each one of us by name. Just let that sink in. God knows each one of us by name. In Ethiopia, where we lived and served for many years, names always have a meaning. Some names here do as well, don't they? Often they were biblical names, but sometimes they were just something of what the parents hoped for in the child. And they were often spot on. So my friend from Addis Ababa, Alex, his full name is Alamayu, which means I've seen the world. And he's been here to the UK, he's been to Egypt, and he now lives in Seattle. An Ethiopian friend in Reading is called Melisech. Her name means she came back. I'm sure her husband's pleased. And another friend of ours who migrated to the States, her name is Sinkinesh, which means, wait for this, she's a packed lunch. And I can't make sense of that either. And after many years, 10 years ago, I was given a cattle name by the Nuer people who live in Sudan and the south of Ethiopia. And when a young boy becomes a man, he goes through a long ceremony, and he's given a new name, and it's always the name named after his favorite cow. And the name denotes the coloring or the patterning on the skin of the cow. My name is Nyaldieng, which means white with a patch of red. So names mean something. And in the Bible, names mean absolutely everything. In the Psalms, we're told that God calls each star by name. And there are billions of them. In the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, Adam, the first man, is invited by God to name all the living creatures. And later on, of course, we came across Jacob, the usurper, because that's what he did. And the prophet Isaiah, whom you just heard a reading from, his name means, may God save. So in the Bible, names mean everything. And in the Bible, to be nameless is to be worthless, a dreadful thing, a terrible thing. And yet, of course, nobody, but absolutely no one, is allowed to know the name of God. Because, well, of course, if we did, he wouldn't be God anymore. So whenever he's asked what his name is, he simply says, I am who I am. You can't pin him down. You can't box him up to produce him whenever you want to produce him. He's bigger than anything we can ever imagine. But he's closer to us than our breath. Why am I telling you all that? Well, in a few moments' time, before I lay my hands on you to pray with you. I'm going to say your name, and I'm going to say, God has called you by name and has made you his own. Just let that sink in. God has called you by name and has made you his own. And in that moment, just remember that God knows you intimately. In fact, I believe he's been waiting for you all your life. And as it says in Psalm 139, he knit you together in your mother's womb. I love that combination of images. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And so he is, and we are, all of us here, absolutely delighted that you're taking this step today. And of course, for us as Christians, well, God has both a name and a face. The name of Jesus. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, not only knows each one of us here by name, but we can know him too. We can know him in a way that nobody before Christ could ever know God. Through Christ, we can know God. Who loves us? God loves us more than anyone else we will ever know. That sounds like an outrageous thing. This might sound even more outrageous when I say that he loves us even more than our parents or the person that we've chosen to love and spend our lives with. That sounds outrageous, but it's God we're talking about. And Isaiah, who tells us that this God who created all that is, seen and unseen, and names all the stars, has your name written on the palm of his hands. Isn't that extraordinary? As if it was the only name that he cared about, your name. And so I believe this all means that God always, but always, longs for the best for us. And today, the day of your confirmation, he commissions you. He commissions you to honour and glorify his name, the name of Jesus, in all you are and in all you do. Now, believe me, I know it might take a lifetime to really live that out. I was confirmed at the age of 12. I'm now 63. Do the maths. And I'm still working out what it means to follow Jesus more clearly, to be more Christ-like. I'm still trying to work that out. It's an extraordinary journey. And I hope that you will discover more and more each day what you mean to him and what he means to you and what he has in store for you. Because I'm sure he does have something extraordinary in store for you. Because God has called you by name, and we are baptized, aren't we, into his name. And that name is utterly precious, because his name, the name of Jesus, means he who saves. He who saves. And his name, as I said earlier on, is above every name. He's Lord of all. It was in his name that the sick were healed. It was in his name that the hungry were fed. It was in his name that the outcasts were invited in to eat with him. And today he just longs to minister to each one of us, to feed us, to welcome us, today and every day, and to send us to, in his name, to live out our purpose, his purpose for us, sorry, in all that we are and do. A really big ask, that, isn't it? A huge ask. But he's promised that ultimately he will never, ever let us go. Could I please just ask the person who read the Isaiah reading to come and read it for us again? Have you got it still with you? Yeah, please. And as you hear this, those of you about to be confirmed, but all of us perhaps, hear this as God's promise to you, that he will never, ever let you go. Thank you very much.
But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life.
Thank you.